Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. For the first time in over a decade, Mecklenburg County has a new manager. Mike Bryant took the reins from Dina DiIorio when she retired in June, but he's no stranger to Mecklenburg County. He was her right-hand man, acting as deputy county manager, and when we spoke with Dina just before she retired, she sang his praises. But with a new boss comes change. Change in approach, new ideas, perhaps a desire to try things out that might rock the boat, improve things, or both. So we're going to spend the hour getting to know the man putting his stamp on running the state's second most populous county, one whose growth is more urban and economically driven than other counties in the state, with a younger, more diverse population and a focus on transit-oriented development and affordable housing. Mike Bryant has promised both, and he will be the focus. And let me do this again. Mike Bryant has promised both will be the focus of his leadership, but that's not all. And we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty with him this hour. Mike Bryant, welcome to the program. Where you been?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I've been doing well.
Good. The Mecklenburg County Commission chose you to replace Dina with the unanimous vote back in April. You took over in July. They conducted a nationwide search, and at least one of them said, I think it was Laura Meyer said, we found out we already had the best person for the job, already working for the county. And at the time, and Dina was on this program, she described you as a tremendous leader who loves to learn and collaborate with others. She has been described as the greatest county manager of all time. So those are big, big shoes to fill. How would you describe Dina?
Oh, wow. I think that descriptive is spot on. You know, Dina, during her tenure as our county manager for 10 years, she has experienced a lot of success. And her contributions to this community are amazing. You know, when she was appointed county manager, Mike, there was some instability in our community. First as CFO, you may recall the 2011 revaluation. Mm-hmm. Well, through Dina's leadership as CFO, she helped us see that through and restore the credibility in our property revaluation. And then that contributed to her being appointed to our manager. And as manager, another crisis occurred. You may recall the Great Recession. And through Dina's leadership, her courage, once again, she led us through that financial crisis. And we came out much more stronger and resilient as ever as an organization. And in addition to that, the pandemic, once again, because of Dina's leadership, she saw Mecklenburg County through, and she received national recognition that was deserved for her excellent service to this community, to Mecklenburg County residents.
So you've just listed all the great things that she did and the way she handled serious situations that most county managers probably don't have to handle. But you sat through her leadership. You sat through Harry Jones.
That's correct.
Leadership. And now it's your job. It's a big job. I'm not sure why anybody would want this job. It comes with a big paycheck, but it's a lot of responsibility. Why did you? Because you said, I read an interview with you, and you said that ever since you set foot in the county, what is it, 22 years ago?
That's right.
You had your eye on this job. Why?
Mike, this is my dream job. Since January the 3rd of 2003, that was my first day in Mecklenburg County. It has always been my goal to someday be the county manager. You know, I was able to acquire this position by being a product of my faith and family and fortitude. And because I've been with the organization for over 22 years and served in different capacities, you know, it allowed me to have perspective from different levels of the organization, from a front staff employee to a mid-level manager to a department director, as a member of Dina's executive team, as you've noted, and now as county manager, I believe those experiences over that 22-year span allows me to serve this community extremely well. And this is my home. You know, Mike, this is where my wife and I, we raised our kids. Our kids attend public schools here. We worship at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church as well. I love this community. I love our organization. And to be in a position, Michael, where I now have the opportunity to serve as county manager is unbelievable.
Yeah. She said many times on this program and elsewhere that she liked you. She admired you. She promoted you twice, I believe.
Yes.
And every time she got a promotion, she gave you a promotion. So clearly she was bringing you along or saw something in you that she thought had great potential. Well, now it's your job.
It is.
And everybody has their own style, their own way of doing things.
That's right.
So how would you describe your leadership style, and how will your approach differ from hers?
Well, I tell you, number one, both Harry and Dina, you know, I've had the privilege to work under some great leaders and the two of them and observe their success. Harry was already in the role when I came in. Mm-hmm. And then with Dina, I got to see her grow in the role. It takes time, you know, to get a good understanding of what it means to be county manager over an organization that has a $2.5 billion budget, 6,400 employees, and serve residents, what, 1.2 million residents. You're not going to know everything on day one. You're not going to know everything in the first year. You know, you certainly have to humble yourself. And a lot of the attributes that Dina and Harry both possess, I intend to take those with me. However, my tenure as manager is going to be mine. Because of Dina's experience and how she's evolved over that 10-year run as our manager, obviously she's very direct, very front. You know where she stands, very transparent. I applaud her for that. I think with me, as a new manager, I'm going to be a little more collaborative. I'm going to lean in on the subject matter experts a lot more as I build my capacity as manager as well. So certainly it's going to be underscored with being more collaborative.
I actually was surprised to hear you say that you're not going to know everything on the first day, because you didn't come in cold from Saskatchewan.
Oh, no.
You've
not
been here
all.
For 22 years, and you were in the executive team that Dina assembled, and you were there for a long time, 22
yeah.
years. So you know where the bodies are buried.
What I know where they are.
What surprised you most when you took over the reins and you faced your first couple of major decisions? What surprised you about this that you didn't anticipate?
It's a pleasant surprise. You know, as I transitioned into the role, the board appointed me back on April 1st. And Dina's last in office was June 5th. So it gave me some runway to divide and conquer with Dina. And what I did, Mike, was I initiated these listening tours across the entire community, Mike, where I met with leaders from the corporate community, philanthropic, the faith community, nonprofits, the hospitals, sports entertainment. I've lost count. I've had over 70 individual meetings. And the one thing that I would categorize as a pleasant surprise, Mike, is the interest to come together and collaborate for the good of this community. I'm so impressed and appreciative with the leadership across the entire Charlotte-Mecklenburg region and their interest to do just that. And we're going to come together in November and talk about how we can collaborate.
I was going to talk about this listening tour a little bit later, but since you brought it up, let's talk about it now. Who came? How many people did you talk to? Who did you listen to? How did they know to come and talk to you?
Well, fortunately, Dina, as part of her mentorship and support of me transitioning into the role, she provided me with a list of names of individuals that I should meet, that I need to get to know, and certainly their influences in this community. Some of those individuals, you know, being here 20 years, I knew them. However, I know them, but I recognize also being manager, it's a different conversation. And Mike, I can certainly not expect, you know, the relationship I had with those individuals as budget director or deputy county manager to be the same now that as I assume the role as county manager. So I met with CEOs from the banks, the hospitals, the nonprofits, pastors from very prominent churches. I've met with just folks from the streets, off the streets, our neighbors, our residents as well, because I think it's so important to just listen.
So what did you hear? What were people telling you?
What I heard is concerns, obviously, regarding transportation, affordable housing, jobs. There's concerns about workforce development as well. So a host of things. But in addition to that, they're certainly appreciative of accomplishments that we've made as an organization as well. One of the things that I've heard consistently, particularly from the corporate community, is the need for the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County to work together. And my counterpart, city manager Marcus Jones, and I, we're doing just that. Because when we are successful coming together, working together, leading our two organizations with a common goal, it serves this community much better.
Because of your level of experience coming into this job, not only as a manager, but also with the county, knowing what's going on, did anything you heard in this listening tour contradict or counter or challenge ideas that you had or plans that you have or goals that you have?
I can't say anything has contradicted my goals. I will tell you this. My interest in terms of how I want to lead the organization, I have to consider what's going on at the federal and state level. Some of the impacts, the decisions that have been made, cause me to maybe rethink how I go about doing things pending what happens at the state level with new legislation.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I've been doing this. It's been 22 years with the county, but I've been doing this for 30 years. So, and having a front row seat, standing beside the individual that sits in the seat as manager has certainly given me a lot of exposure as well. So, I would not be the prepared leader that I am, if I was not prepared for anything that would be thrown my way.
Yeah, prior to coming to Mecklenburg County and county government, you worked for the city of Durham, you worked for Duke University, you worked for the governor's office, you worked for Granville County.
That's correct.
Talk a bit about what you did for those various organizations.
You know, those were great experiences. As relates to the governor's office, I had the opportunity to serve in, back then, what was called the Research and Planning Division. And I was assigned to the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. And that is because my undergraduate degree is in criminal justice. I'm alumni of North Carolina Central University twice over. And Governor Hunt, back then, created a replica of the Presidential Management Internship for the state of North Carolina. And what that means is every public university in the state was able to identify a representative to partake in this two-year fellowship. And I was fortunate to be selected to represent North Carolina Central. And because of my undergraduate degree, I was able to be assigned to the governor's office in that division of Department of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention. And our task at that time, and I certainly didn't do this by myself, the task at that time was to create a standalone Office of Juvenile Justice, and we were able to do that. The first secretary was George Sweat. And so that's something that I will always take with me.
Mike Bryant is our guest. He is the relatively new Mecklenburg County manager. Been on the job officially since July 1st, but it's been with the county for 22 years. Lots to talk about, including those legislative shenanigans going on in Raleigh and Washington and the cuts that may come with it and the adjustments that county people have to make as a result. We'll get to those things and a lot of other things as well in a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, incorporating Mazda's customer-centric vehicle design by making the customer the center of business to create a better car buying experience. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.
Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Mike Bryant is our guest. He's the new Mecklenburg County manager, been in the job for about a little less than two months. Dina DiIorio, the longtime county manager, left on June 5th, but her retirement date was June 30th, but she took some vacation.
Right. That's correct.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about you and all the time that you've spent in the public sector.
Yes.
You could have worked for private firms along the way, and clearly your ascension to the throne at Mecklenburg County indicates that you had the facility to have made a lot of money and gone up the ladder in the private sector as well. What was it about the public sector that attracted you?
Well, my passion is rooted in public service. And I got to tell you, serving as county manager, Mike, has come full circle for me. Having the opportunity to provide oversight of the services that are provided in this community, it's touching. And I'll tell you why, because I grew up receiving a lot of these services, whether it's food stamps, Section 8 vouchers, financial assistance, my family receiving substance abuse services as well, and now being in a seat that is responsible for providing those services, it excites me day in and day out that I get to wake up and make decisions that impact the quality of life for individuals that experienced social issues as I did growing up in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Clearly, that gives you a better understanding for the need out there.
Oh, yes. I certainly take those experiences into the room, the meeting room.
How does that inform the decisions that you're going to make?
I think it informs the decisions because I've been on the other side. You know, I understand what it means to be a recipient of those food stamps. I know firsthand what it means to go without, to come home and be evicted with a padlock on your door. So I understand how important our residents, how important it is for them to receive this assistance, because it is a matter of them being on the streets or them changing the trajectory of their life as well. And I don't take that lightly. So having that experience firsthand with my brother growing up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, being raised by my grandmother, and then also serving in the organization for 22 years, like I said, at the different levels, having a strong background in budget and finance, when you put all that together, it positions me to lead this organization. And certainly I don't do it by myself. I'm surrounded by an exceptional group of individuals that assist me with managing the day-to-day operations. But when you experience and receive these services firsthand, mm-hmm. and you understand the significance of it, it makes a difference.
You've been doing public service work for 30 years, 22 at the county.
Yeah.
You and Marcus Jones, who is the city manager.
That's correct.
Are professionals at what you do. You have experience at what you do in managing large organizations, and in this case, the county, and in his case, the city. But you work at the behest of amateurs. You work at the behest of elected officials who come from different walks of life, different areas of expertise, who don't know what you know about managing cities and counties and things like that. And yet they have the final word. You have to explain it to them. To present your ideas, and they say yes or no, and then you've got to execute. Yeah. How difficult is that when you know sometimes that you're right and they're wrong?
Well, it comes with the territory. You know, I am fortunate to have a very strong, talented, committed board to this community. No, they don't always agree on everything. However, what they do agree on is improving the quality of life of this community here in Mecklenburg County. And that is really centered on the board priorities, which includes health, equity, and wellness, education, service for seniors, workforce development, environmental stewardship, economic development, and a cross-cutting priority, which is reducing racial disparities. So, Mike, with that being our North Star, it gives me a blueprint of where the board wants to take this organization. So when I come forward with recommendations and options for their consideration, it's incumbent on me to make sure they understand and can be able to connect the dots what I'm presenting to them. And you're right. At the end of the day, they make that final decision. That's why they were elected by by their constituents to serve this community. And it's my job to make sure, as I present information and make recommendations to them, Mike, that I am informing the decision process, that I'm providing them the data that is necessary, that I'm providing the supporting information, the business case that is aligned to my recommendation as well. And I tell you, of course, I always would want them to accept my recommendation, but when they don't, I'm not down about it because, you know, I recognize I got 9 members. They come, like you said, from all walks of life. They have different perspectives. But for me, it's not whether or not they accept my recommendation. It's did my team and I put forth information that allowed them to make a really good informed decision that improves the quality of life in this community.
And you've said that their priorities align with yours, and you listed your priorities as economic development, workforce development, senior services, education, health equity, wellness, environmental stewardship, and more. That's a lot.
It is.
So how do you prioritize?
Well, I tell you, number one, I go back to my team because I cannot do this good work alone. I have a very talented cabinet that assists me with moving the Dow in these areas as well. And then, you know, you have to be very clear in terms of where you are financially and what we can support and what we cannot support in that particular fiscal year, right? But, and to your point, that's why one of the things that I wrote out on July 7th is an organizational reset plan. Mm. Because with that plan, I recognize that Mecklenburg County, it's going to be challenging for us to continue to be all things to everyone. We can no longer be that, Mike.
Let's stop right there. What does that mean? You feel that we have tried to be all things to everyone.
Yeah, we have.
What does that mean?
What that means is that we've been able to stretch our dollar and reach very far to support various initiatives across this community. And I'm committed to still doing that. However, in order to do that, I have to rethink how we budget. You know, we are not in a financial crisis today. You know, we're not broke as an organization. But the reality is revenue growth is slowing down. You know, there are some tough decisions that we're going to make based on what's coming down the pipeline from the federal and state. So in order for us to continue to show up the way that we have in the past, I have to reset the organization. And by doing that is completing this deep dive on our $2.5 billion budget. Because there may be some things that I can realign dollars to make sure that we are investing in the areas that are board priorities. There may be some things that we just have to stop doing as well because the return on investment is low and based on the performance.
For instance?
I don't have examples now because that research is underway.
Okay.
But what I will say is, you know, we have our $2.5 billion budget. It is categorized by level of discretion. And there are some services that we have to provide legally, such as our health and human services. And then there are some things that we have discretion, such as park and rec and library. Now, hear me. Let me be clear. I'm not suggesting that we're going to reduce those dollars. But, Mike, you've been around. You may recall during the Great Recession, when we experienced that tough buying, that's where we looked, was park and rec and library, because we had discretion back then to eliminate and reduce those services as well. So,
except there was a great hue and cry by a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Keep our libraries.
Rightfully so.
Mike, support our parks.
You know, I was budget director back then, Mike, and it was a low point in my career because we had to lay off individuals, not because of low performance, not because they violated a policy, but simply to balance the budget. Because back then, you know, we did not have the funding necessary to see us through that storm. And again, to Dina's credit, we now have that. So as I go through this deep dive budget assessment, that's what I'm looking at just to see what the performance is and the return on investment for a lot of the services that we're funding. And I'm also planning to implement and recommit the organization to performance management by putting a performance management framework in place as well.
I want to come back to something you said that led this segment off, and that is that we something about growth, that we're not growing as fast as as we used to. And you have said that gone are the days when the county had significant growth revenue.
Yes.
I think that would surprise a lot of people. Why is that?
You know, that's a good question. And I wish I had the answer, because obviously you see the cranes, right, in the uptown area.
100 some people move to this region every single day.
We have, on average, the Charlotte Business Regional Alliance just last week shared some new stats that on average we have 157 people moving here each day.
Okay.
Right?
So Mecklenburg County or the region at large?
Mecklenburg County.
Mecklenburg
County, yeah. And, you know, in terms of the sales tax that support our budget, my budget is 60% property tax as well. The growth just isn't there. And I cannot explain why. We have an economist that does a really good job monitoring that. And unfortunately, the days of us having considerable growth are no longer. Hopefully it'll return sometime soon.
I remember having conversations like this with Harry Jones.
That's right.
And that's a long time ago.
That's right.
And back then, we weren't growing quite as fast, but we were told, not just by Harry, but by many other people, that growth is good, that without growth, you die. Mm. And growth brings revenues. Growth makes us richer, stronger, more able to provide services. And that's not the case, evidently. Why? I know there's a lag time between the 157 people who come here and when they start contributing their tax dollars to our revenue stream.
Correct.
But nonetheless, eventually they do. So are the costs of the services required to support these people outstripping the money they're bringing to the table?
The demand for our services certainly is increasing, and with that comes cost.
What are the services where the demands are being outstripped?
Financial assistance, our SNAP benefits, such which was formerly known as food stamps.
So are the people who are moving here, who are increasing our tax rolls, are they people who really who don't have the financial means to move here?
Well, I don't have that demographic information. I can't say that. I can just only share with you what we're seeing at our doorsteps. And that's an increased demand for financial assistance from Mecklenburg County. That's attributed to the folks that are moving here or other reasons, that's what we're seeing is an increase.
Well, it is becoming more expensive to live here.
Oh, certainly.
Housing is at a premium. It's way high, more expensive than a lot of people can afford. Salaries aren't keeping up with that.
It's not.
Since you spent your entire time in the private sector.
Public.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, the public sector.
Yeah.
Is it that the government has become a welfare system for corporations?
I don't know if I would say that. I don't necessarily agree with that perspective, that the government has come a welfare system for corporations.
I mean, if we're paying people to eat, we're paying subsidies to let them live in decent housing because they're not being paid sufficient amounts of money at their jobs.
Yeah.
What does that say? How would you define that?
Well, the whole point behind that is provide this assistance so that they can become self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And be contributors to this community.
But how can you become self-sufficient when you're spending more than 30% of your income on housing and you're working at McDonald's?
That's right.
Which were jobs designed for teenagers after school.
Well, you're right. And that's where it comes to having a strong workforce development strategy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I have done since becoming manager is I've created a new assistant county manager position that will focus on upward mobility. And that position will specifically target economic development and workforce development to address some of these needs that you have articulated. I can't explain why people find themselves in these positions, but as a government, it is our job to serve them and assist them with improving their quality of life.
This cannot be unique to Mecklenburg County.
Oh, no. It's in all urban communities.
So when you guys get together, when county managers and public sector managers get together, and I'm sure you do, or at least have conversations, does anybody have an idea of why this is happening?
We have no silver bullet.
We have no what?
There's no silver bullet, you know, in terms of solutions, in terms of why it's happening as well, but to your point,
why don't we know?
It's important to get to the root cause.
Yeah, but why don't we know? We have data streams that come in from everywhere. Why don't we know these things?
Well, I think it's like you said, some is determined by the market. You know, where you have a housing market, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but we know that the median price for a home is, in Charlotte is very expensive, and the average salaries does not support that purchase. Mm-hmm. So in order to reside in the community that you work in, right, it's challenging. And it's because of expenses like that that require folks to need some assistance, along with other reasons.
And could it be that the people coming into Charlotte, and we are told that they're coming here because of the job market, the opportunities that we offer, and because the cost of living is lower than where they're coming from, and because the weather is nice, are they creating the need for more help from the county for people who are already here? Is that what's happening?
Well, Charlotte-Mecklenburg is a destination. And certainly what you describe, I believe, is a contributor. Mm-hmm. When you have individuals that are moving from other parts of the country where the cost of living is greater, and they move to Charlotte, and from, you know, from their financial perspective, it's more affordable. So they're able to afford, you know, these properties, these homes, and they can buy them, while those that are here locally may be a little more challenged.
Yeah. So you're talking about this organizational reset,
yeah,
that you want to do. You're talking, yeah, about the fact that revenues are not keeping up with growth and the needs that you're being presented with. And you told WBTV's Dedrick Russell that you want a more accountable county government. And one way to do that is to get really do a deep dive on our $2.5 billion budget. When you do that deep dive, I'm sure you haven't done it yet because you've just got the job, but when you do that, will you have answers to some of these questions that we've been talking about?
I believe we will. That's the whole intent behind it. You know, let me be clear. You know, over the last 10 years or so, as Dina served as our manager, certainly we're able to identify some savings each year that we're able to either redirect to offset expenses, and to also provide, you know, services to this community. This deep dive assessment that I'm referring to is something that was completed when I joined the organization back in 2003. And by taking this deep dive, it allowed us to look at this $2.5 billion budget to see what are our opportunities.
Mike Bryant is Mecklenburg County Manager. When we come back, we'll talk about transit and things coming down the pike from D.C.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the British International School of Charlotte. Aiming to inspire high school students through an international curriculum and IB diploma program, preparing them for college, careers, and a global community. More at bischarlotte.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. Our guest today is Mike Bryant. He's the new Mecklenburg County Manager. Big job. Big job. And you said that you want to take a regional approach to this job because Charlotte is a region.
It is.
Mecklenburg County is part of a, I don't know how many counties make up the region. I've forgotten now, but it's a lot. But it takes two to tango. So have you found that people, managers, your counterparts in these other counties, are on the same page, that they want to take this approach?
We are on the same page. You know, just this past Friday, I had a meeting with City Manager Marcus Jones and our school superintendent, Dr. Crystal Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about creating a more livable community, you know, improving the quality of life for all residents and what that would look like and how we can come together as leaders of our organization to collaborate to make something like that happen.
What about collaboration with Iredell and Cabarrus and Gaston, et cetera?
We've had a conversation as well.
Okay.
You know, there's some initiatives regarding the Marine Commissions.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my discussions regarding collaborations have been with the town managers within Mecklenburg County, okay, and our city manager as well.
And when you talked to Mary Ramsey about this at the Charlotte Observer, you said you wanted to develop a regional approach. I've heard people in city and county management and others talk about a regional approach now for quite some time. We don't have one. We're having to develop one.
Well, so I'm putting those words in action.
Okay.
November 20th and 21st, that Thursday and Friday. Hopefully I'm not mixing the dates up. That's a two-day retreat that I'm going to host with about 30 of our partners to come together and design this regional approach to some of the challenges that we're facing in this community. I'm really excited about that. Their commitment to that meeting has been very impressive. And the objective is to do just that. You know, and this is a stretch goal. I will acknowledge that. But I want to walk away with some type of scorecard indicator that indicates how we're trending in certain areas that are important to this community. Affordable housing, economic development, workforce development. The list goes on. And there's a shared interest to do just that. And that's what we're going to focus on in late November.
The county is responsible for community health, essentially. And some of the social services that need to be provided to people. And we know that the federal government has recently done a lot of things that are throwing a wrench into the works, shall we say. Policies are changing, policies that affect SNAP, policies that affect Medicaid and education. And there's the possibility that some people who are on the Affordable Care Act for their medical insurance may lose that because of changes in policy at the Washington level, at the national level. Is Mecklenburg County, is any county, prepared for that?
You know, we're analyzing what the potential impact may be. Back on August 6th, at our regular board meeting, we briefed the board on the One Big Beautiful Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that One Big Beautiful Bill, it has eroded the little certainty that a lot of our counties had when it comes to receiving critical funding and additional support. For example, in Mecklenburg County, our public health grants are critical to a lot of our intervention and prevention efforts, and thus any change or elimination to the funding sources will mean a discontinuation of services that are being administered on behalf of more than 1.2 million residents. You talked about SNAP. Let me give you some numbers on that. In this state, Mecklenburg County has the most total number of SNAP and Medicaid recipients. Our residents account for up to 414,000 of the state's total Medicaid recipients and around 143,000 of the state's total SNAP recipients. And 78,600 residents, or a little over 6% of our population receiving Medicaid, are at risk of losing vital coverage. And if Medicaid expansion is preserved, but the proposed new federal work requirements are put in place, the number of county residents losing coverage would be up to 33,000 residents. Now, the actual impact is going to be determined how the state responds. But you got to ask yourself, what's the likelihood of the state pushing these impacts from the federal government down to counties? It's probably very high.
Yeah.
So we're embracing for that. And again, this is where this collaboration comes in play.
You can't. I know that Mecklenburg County has the largest number of SNAP recipients of anybody in the state. We probably have the largest number of Medicaid folks on Medicaid of anybody in the state because of our population and just the statistics. But you can't be alone. There we have other major urban counties. Were there conversations between you and your counterparts and others with Senator Tillis, with Senator Budd, prior to the passage of this big, beautiful bill, with members of the House in the Republican delegation? Did it fall on deaf ears?
Well, I don't know if it fell on deaf ears, but
clearly
see what the results are. You see what the results are, right?
Yes, clearly it did.
And yes, we did set forth a strong effort through our national associations, which is NACO, National Association of Counties, to advocate on the county's behalf regarding what the impact of these reductions and cuts will mean to our communities.
So things in Washington seem to change on a whim these days. Policy is created by tweets at the moment.
Yeah.
And uncertainty in all sectors, not just the public sector, but the private sector,
That's
seems
right.
to be the order of the day. Do you have any real idea of what the county may have to deal with as the federal government shifts course on many of the funds that they have traditionally sent to counties around the country?
Well, let me be very honest and transparent with you. If these cuts come down the pipeline, as I just described, if it all comes to fruition, the county's going to have to make some very tough decisions in terms of cuts as well. We cannot supplant I receive $171 million from the federal government in federal revenue. If we lose a certain percentage of those revenues that we receive reimbursement for providing services to our community, we can't supplant that.
And just so people understand, this money that's coming to you from the federal government is coming to the federal government from us.
Yes, reimbursements for the services we provide. Yeah. So the point I'm making is, and this is to your point, it's not just unique to Mecklenburg County, but counties all across this country, all 100 counties in the state of North Carolina, pending what the state decides, how they decide to respond to this big, beautiful bill, if they decide to push it down to counties and the impact is in the ballpark of these stats I just shared with you, we're going to have to make some very tough decisions. However,
when do you think that will happen?
Well, it ranges in terms of the effective dates. You know, some of these dates carry over into 2027. So in some cases, we have some runway. In other cases, we do not. But
so a lot of these changes, a lot of these impacts to counties and therefore to citizens won't be felt until after the midterms.
Potentially, however, I can't wait for the impact to come to fruition. I have to be the prepared leader. And again, this goes back to me completing this deep dive assessment, recommitting to performance management so that we can stay ahead of it. You know, I don't want to get caught off guard. And I want, and I don't want to cause any fear as well. You know, that's important that, you know, this community doesn't have a sense of fear because of what's going on at the federal level. But instead, they should understand that they have a group of professionals that are very experienced with dealing with crises, such as the Great Recession, such as the pandemic, that will lead us through this time as well.
Officials from the White House on down have, in the last several months, changed direction after they put a policy in place and suddenly realized this is catastrophic. So we'll change, we'll reverse course.
Yeah.
Could they on this?
I hope so.
But it's in law now.
It is law. But, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And you never know what happens. You know, you got to be prepared for the expect the unexpected.
Charlotte and Mecklenburg County are embarking on this transit plan.
Yeah.
We spent many years trying to get this permission to have a referendum on the November ballot where voters will come in and say yes or no to a 1 cent sales tax to support the expansion of transit. The plan that we have on the table is not the plan that was originally devised, which would have brought rail to all corners of the county. But it is what it is, and it's all we're going to get. It's an expansion of the red line to Davidson, or the start of the red line to Davidson. It's a silver line from, I think, Bojangles Coliseum out to 485.
That's right.
And road improvements and other improvements for transportation, buses, et cetera.
That's right.
How critical, in your mind, is this plan to the future of Mecklenburg County?
Well, I think it's very critical. Listen, my board has made it clear that at this time, the county's role is not to persuade voters one way or the other. Based on an 8-1 vote that they took back on August 6th, they decided to allow the voters to determine what the funding source for transportation in this community would look like. And they did just that. And my job as manager is not to advocate as well. It is to lead the effort and present to the board a timeline to get it on the ballot.
But opposition to this has emerged from some sources in recent days, primarily based on the fact that this is going to be supported by a sales tax increase, and sales taxes are regressive. They hit the poorest of our community the harder than it will the more affluent, because an extra penny here and there, it means nothing to somebody who's making $500,000 a year, but it means a lot to somebody who's making $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a year. And that's where the opposition comes from. And are you concerned that if this passes, even more, you'll be facing even more needs coming to your door for services?
I don't look at it like that.
Okay.
I believe if it passes, it's going to increase mobility across this community, to help individuals secure jobs and employment in parts of the community that currently they may be challenged mm-hmm. getting to. So because of that, I think that's a huge advantage. When you're helping move individuals from point A to point B, and with that success, it will help decrease the roles of individuals that are coming knocking on our door. And you also got to be mindful of a lot of the economic development that could come from this project. It means jobs. So these individuals that you're talking about will have the opportunity to compete for these jobs that will be associated with this transit sales tax.
Let's talk about a sore point. I know you don't want to spend a lot of time on this, and I don't either, but it's the redevelopment of the area that was once home to the Brooklyn neighborhood in Uptown's Second Ward. It's been stalled now for years. Peebles Construction, the builder chosen for the Brooklyn Village redevelopment project, they've delayed and delayed and delayed. They came back to the well for more money a number of times. They failed to meet a July 28th deadline to demolish the old Board of Education, which is on the mm-hmm. land that will
That's
be
correct.
Built on. And the county evidently decided to officially end negotiations with Peebles. Does that end the relationship? Are they out of the picture now?
Well, let me respond this way. You know, when it comes to this matter, I need to be extremely careful, Mike. And given the ongoing litigation associated with this, there is no meaningful update that I can share with you at this time. What I will say is that the Board of County Commission, they remain committed to bringing affordable housing to that part of Uptown Charlotte.
But do you think we've played this game of ping pong with this organization long enough? Is it time to cut the cord?
I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. When I had the opportunity to take a deep dive into the files and the history of this project, how it has or has not evolved, Mike, I could not say with 100% confidence, looking at my board, looking at the, you know, speaking to the community and the media, that it would be in our best interest to continue this agreement.
Part of that project was to include affordable housing.
That's correct.
And affordable housing is a key thrust to both the city and the county, finding it, maintaining it, shoring it up. And last month, you announced a new approach to housing with plans to launch an Office of Housing and Community Development. Has that happened?
So the work is underway. I'm really excited about this new Office of Housing and Community Development. Our board has made affordable housing since 2019, Mike, as a priority for them. And since that time, the county has made some significant investments in that space. And organically, those investments, it crossed the entire enterprise. And by creating this new office, it centralized those investments. It helps increase accountability and responsibility and allow us to define a strategy as well as define how we're going to engage with our partners to improve affordable housing in this community.
As I understand it, there are now six departments within the county that deal with various aspects of
That sounds about right.
Of housing, and you want to hire someone to be responsible for helping the county reach your housing goals. So would those then six entities that deal with housing now be rolled into one, or would this person be in charge of supervising all six of those entities and putting them on the same page?
Well, the assessment is underway now. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at, we're scanning the entire organization for services associated with affordable housing, homelessness, as well as community development. And then based on that scan of the environment, my team will bring that forward to me and my executive team, and we'll review that information. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we'll determine what will transition into this new department versus what will stay where it's currently located.
I have less than a minute left. And you spoke to somebody about your predecessor, Harry Jones, in this job. And he was kind of your mentor for a very long time. And one of the things you say he demonstrated was how day-to-day you can be the CEO of an organization and remain true to yourself.
Yes.
I have 30 seconds. What does that mean?
Well, that means as an African-American male, with this accountability that Harry taught me how I can lead this community and be true to my community, be true to everyone serving all residents of Mecklenburg County, and not have to think twice about it.
Mike Bryant, big job ahead.
Thank you.
I'm glad you want it because There are going to be days.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But thank you for the hour. Thank you for the conversation.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Mike Bryant is the new Mecklenburg County Manager.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. Our producer is Chris Jones. For more information about Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks. Additional support for WFAE programming comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.